Midday 180 on 104.5 The Zone with Chad Withrow and Paul Kuharski. I'm Jonathan Hutton. Philip Noel is making the show happen for us here at Johnny's Tavern in Kansas City. Our coverage presented by Brentwood Hearing Center and by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Coming up at 1 o'clock today, we have the chairman of the FCC coming on the show. He's a Chiefs fan. He'll call us from Washington, D.C. John McClain a little bit later as well. But right now we say hello to Nate Washington. It's going to be great to hear his voice again, former Titans wide receiver, of course, with the Steelers as well. And he joins us now. Nate, great to hear from you, man. How are you?
Man, I'm doing great. How you guys doing?
Doing well. What has it been like watching this Titans run from afar? What do you make of what they've done so far?
Man, I got to be honest. You know, being a part of the game has been hard for me, you know, to be a fan because I just, you know, I became overwhelmed after a period of time of just, you know, it's always been a part of my life. But I will say last weekend, I think I scared both of my children out of their skin from staring at the TV. So, I mean, this is it's amazing. It's a great time to be a Titans fan. It's a great time to be a part of the organization in any way. Those guys have been doing an amazing job on the field and giving the fans something to cheer about. And they definitely made a true fan out of me.
You did an excellent job in this market playing out a long-term contract as a free agent, which is rarely done in this league based on the finances of things, and giving this team a reliable wide receiving option that it could never find in the draft. A.J. Brown, there were 29 receivers between Derek Mason and A.J. Brown who did not turn into the guys that the Titans were hoping for. I talked to you a couple times during that stretch about the Titans' failure to develop any of those guys. What's right. It been like to watch A.J. Brown in his first year do the things that Titans fans have been hoping and praying to see for 20 years from a draft pick?
Yeah, definitely. I think he's definitely brought something to the table that's been missing. You know, you're kind of going through these drafts with the understanding of what you need and the positions that you need to address on your team. And as fans, obviously, you sit there and you make all your assessments and you tell yourself what the team needs to get, and you get these guys. And sometimes it doesn't pan out well. Sometimes it doesn't go as you think it may go, you know. So to see this kid, A.J., and what he's able to accomplish right now and to even think about the future with this kid is definitely something that you can be excited about. He's definitely brought the dynamic playmaking ability to the passing game on the outside, you know, that's given the Titans a little bit extra. You know, I think Delaney's been doing an awesome job, you know, throughout his career with the Titans of giving them some type of pass game and some type of playmaking ability in the pass game. But to have a guy on the outside be able to do what AJ's been doing thus far, I think is, you know, exciting to just think about the potential and even about, you know, the next game of what he's, you know, going to be able to do and what he's going to be able to help the team out in the situations that they need to win.
Nate Washington, our guest. Nate, I know you were on the Steelers team in 2005 when you guys won the Super Bowl as the sixth seed, and you traveled to win on the road at number 3, then number 1, then number 2 in the AFC, reaching the Super Bowl to win over the Seahawks. That team came together late in the year. That was your rookie year, I believe. And
right.
You won your final 4 games, I believe it was, to get in. The Titans were on a similar path, and if they win Sunday, it will be the same path through the AFC postseason that Steelers team went through as a 6th seed on the road. What was the mentality like of your locker room in 2005? And I'm just curious. I know you're not inside this Titans locker room, but I'm sure there would be some similarities to it.
Well, the first common goal that I can definitely see that is similar between the two teams of my rookie year Pittsburgh team that went on that road trip and this now Titans team that is going on their road trip is, you know, the consistent and focused veteran leadership. That team that we had in Pittsburgh, you know, although we had, you know, guys in significant spots at a younger ages, you know, our veterans and Jerome Bettis and James Ferrier and these guys that knew what it was going to take to be, you know, prominent at the back end of our season that year in order to go into a postseason and hopes that we can, you know, put something together to get to the ultimate goal, which is winning the Lombardi. And I see the same thing here with this team. You know, you have a core full of guys that are young and talented and amazing attributes to the team, but you also have veterans such as your Jarrell Casey's and your Wesley Williams that have been around for quite some time, and they're going to know that this isn't just about, you know, showing up to get Instagram followers or make sure your outfit is being noticed. This is about, you know, making sure that you're going and creating a legacy for yourself. You know, you're doing everything you can to make sure that your city is the city that's cheering at the end of the day. And I'm pretty sure those guys are instilling those things into them. You know, they've been around for quite some time. And for them to get this far, you know, I'm pretty sure that they're not going to let this moment go unappreciated, or it's not going to be, you know, overlooked in a way that they're not going to do everything that they should do to win this ball game. You know, and also one of the things that you have is a leader in Coach Vrabel that is definitely going to give them an opportunity to know what this is all about. You know, he's been there as a player. He's been there, you know, with mentors and leaders as, you know, Coach Belichick and other mentors that he's grew up under that have allowed him, I'm pretty sure, to understand the logistics of coaching on this level in the playoffs. And I'm pretty sure that he's not going to leave, you know, no stone unturned. Everything will be approached, you know, as business. These guys will understand that, you know, it's not just about playing the game, but understanding the game that they're in and making sure that they understand the way that Kansas City will try to attack them. This is an awesome opportunity for the Titans. And the one thing that I think that we just all had in common is just the understanding that no matter whether you had a young guy or an older guy on the team, you were focused on the ultimate goal, which was getting towards the Lombardi and making sure that you're not caught in the moment of, you know, the presentation or the marketing end of it, but all going out there with a common goal to make sure you get to that game and do what you're supposed to do to win it.
Former Titans and Steelers wide receiver Nate Washington, our guest on the Midday 180. Nate, you saw Ryan Tannehill play in Miami as a starting quarterback there, and you've seen him this season with the Titans. They've clearly gone on the backs of Derrick Henry offensively the last 2 weeks in the playoffs, but Ryan Tannehill has put up some amazing numbers for this Titans offense. Did you see any of this coming based on what you saw in Miami? And what has been the key that you've seen with Ryan Tannehill's success this season?
Well, I'll say, you know, in all honesty, you know, I don't think any of us honestly seen this coming. You know, he was a good game manager in Miami. You know, he was able to make some plays. But, you know, I think the NFL is all about the right place and the right time. You know, you have guys that unfortunately are talented out of this world, but due to they're in the wrong system or due to they're in an unhappy environment, due to the teammates that they may have, you know, whatever circumstances it may be, there may be things that hinder them from reaching their ultimate potential. And, you know, you get guys that may leave teams and go to other teams and find their niche. They find their homes. And this is exactly what it is. You know, it's like he's found new life here in Tennessee. And maybe, you know, we may have not seen these things, you know, being able to happen previously from this play, but, you know, he's definitely stepped in and has done what is asked of him. He's doing an awesome job of managing the game. He's, you know, managing the turnover ratio to make sure we're keeping the ball. He's doing everything he can as a quarterback right now with such an amazing running game that he should. You know, he's making some amazing throws. The throw to Janu Smith, you know, last week was amazing. You know, the catch in itself was amazing, but to put it in that space, in that area, to give him an opportunity to make a play, that can't go unsaid. You know, so he's doing an awesome job. I'm pretty sure he feels like, you know, work isn't done yet. He still has a lot to prove. It looks like he has a chip on his shoulder. I just hope that he continues to stay confident. You know, that's definitely the one position that you want your guy to be confident at, you know, because it's a ebb and flow game. And anything may happen. And in those moments, we want him to also make sure that he goes out there and continues to sling that rock like he's been doing, man. He's been doing an awesome job, and I'm excited about watching it.
Nate, what did you think about Bill Cowher getting the nod that he's going to the Pro Football Hall of Fame?
Man, my tears definitely were in the bellies of my eyes. I just didn't share one. You know, I tell everybody the story about Coach Cowher that I remember is that, you know, the year that he retired, you know, after that year, This wasn't any news that we got from, although we all pretty much, you know, assumed that this was the route that he would take after the season. You know, we didn't get the news from a group or a team meeting. We didn't get the news from, you know, the news at the time or any type of journalist. He literally had an exit meeting with each and every one of us. And to this day, I remember my personal exit meeting with him, in which he told me, you know, personally, and every guy that he talked to that day, that he was retiring, and how much individually that we meant to him. He told me how much that he seen in my game, the reason why he kept me, the reason why as a person that I needed to remain the same way I needed to remain. It was just an amazing experience from a guy that I knew eventually would be in the Hall of Fame, that took his time out to be so personally intimate in that conversation at that time when he didn't have to be. You know, so that's what type of guy he was. He's definitely well deserving of the nod to get in the Hall of Fame. He's my first, you know, NFL coach and my first experience. I tell a lot of people, another quick story is, you know, in a stadium full of 70,000 people, you hear all types of cheers and everything. But my very first time in an NFL game was a preseason game. And I'll never forget, you know, I'm out there. It's my first time ever being on the NFL field. I'm locked in. We run a play. I miss a block on an interior defender. And I'm walking back to the huddle, and I'm still kind of caught in amazement. And all I hear is, Nate! Nate! And I turn and look at the sideline, and Coach Cowher has that look that everybody has seen on TV on his face. And I instantly got myself together and knew that I could not miss no more blocks, because to hear his voice over that crowd at the time was crazy to me. So I was like, I don't want no smoke with him. So it was just cool. You know, it's an honor to see him go in. I'll definitely probably go up there, you know, and be there to support him in that time and witness the speech for myself in person. But it's definitely an honor to be connected to such a great man like Bill Cowher.
Nate, it's great catching up. We really appreciate it. And if they pull this off, we hope we could reconnect with you in the two-week build-up to the Super Bowl.
Awesome, man. Thanks for having me. I hope you guys have a great day. Tighten up.
Same to you, Nate. Appreciate it, man. Nate Washington, one of the best that we've dealt with inside that Titans locker room, which some people find surprising, Paul,
yeah,
when I tell them that. But I'm like, yeah, Nate was one of my favorite guys to cover.
Always,
I don't know what he was like.
straight shooter.
I did a show with him.
He was great.
At 6 o'clock at night, and he was always terrific.
A special guest when we come back, a Kansas City Chiefs fan, and now he works in Washington, D.C., lives in Arlington, Virginia, and he's the chairman of the Federal Communications Commission.
He holds our future really in his hands.
Ajit Pai on the show next to kick off the 1 o'clock hour, live from Kansas City. It's the Midday 180 on 104.5 The Zone.
So we're